Lord be with you. Welcome to worship this morning. It is good to see you. We have just celebrated an exciting Children's Sunday worship at our 9:40 service. And you're going to hear a little bit more about our children's ministry later in the service today. I want to welcome you right now. That my name is Steve Price, one of the pastors here. If you are here for the first time, especially glad to welcome you as our guest today. Hope that you will take a moment and let us know that you've been with us by filling out the connection card that's inside your bulletin, and then place those in the offering plate a little bit later in the service. One thing I want to make sure you note in your bulletin today is if you open it up and look at the inside right flap, and you can go ahead and do that right now if you want, you will see something that we've been talking about for a few weeks now, and I just want to make sure you don't miss it because it is this weekend that Joseph Martin and Dr. Milburn Price will be here to lead a choral workshop on Saturday and lead our choirs in worship at both this service and the 8:15 service on Sunday. And the other thing that you do not want to miss this weekend is the piano concert that Joe will offer on Saturday evening. Trust me, you will be blessed and impressed. So come and also invite somebody to come with you. It really will be an amazing evening of music and one that you will really enjoy. So that's this weekend, so look forward to seeing you there. Well, today our mission box is for Vacation Bible School. Seems appropriate since that connects with our ministry with children. And so glad that Brian Wittstruck is here, our Associate Children's Minister, to come up and share a little bit about that with you this morning.
Good morning. One of my fondest memories as a child growing up in this church is Vacation Bible School. Of course, I was at 8th Avenue as a little guy running around, but I still to this day remember running around before they even built the sanctuary in that same spot. That's where we did recreation, and what a fun time that was. So many children experience Jesus for the very first time in Vacation Bible School. I just want to share just a little bit with you. This year we're planning on about 300 children attending our Vacation Bible School. One of the coolest things that we do, it's a tradition now, we share our Vacation Bible School with Bartley Temple United Methodist Church. We share our t-shirts, our crafts, our science, recreation and games. They come and they learn what we're doing. Then they go to Bartley Temple the very next week and do exactly the same Vacation Bible School. So our mission box this morning is to help offset the cost of all those things I just explained to you, and also to pay it forward to Bartley Temple. Our children collect money during the week of Vacation Bible School, and that we contribute that money to the Living Water International. And also, they bring in canned goods and boxes of food, and that goes to the Food for Kids backpack program. So they are also collecting things. But I would just ask you guys if you would just prayerfully consider donating to our Vacation Bible School, praying for our Vacation Bible School. It's the week of June 4th through the 8th. And maybe, just maybe, there might be some potential volunteers in the room. So, thank you very much. We love VBS.
Thank you, Brian. And let me invite you at this time to take a moment to greet one another. Welcome home. And let's prepare for worship.
Good morning. Would you all please remain standing as you're able, and let's join together in singing our opening hymn.
All creatures of our God and He, lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise Him. pray together.
Oh, Creator God, we do worship you. We come together knowing that you are the source of all that is. And as we gather together to pray and be together this morning, we ask that you would form us into your people, form us into a community, and mold us by the breath of your Holy Spirit. Reveal to us in this diverse family the face of your anointed Christ as we worship here today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And as we'll join together in an affirmation of faith, I invite you as we celebrate Children's Sunday today to be mindful of the fact that this affirmation reminds us that we are the church and that we are called to love and serve one another. Let's share this affirmation together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Be seated. And as we think about the ways that we are called to be the church and called to love and serve others, I invite you to take a listen to our children as they share with us how they show the love of God.
How do you share God's love?
I share God's love by praying for other people. I share God's love by loving people.
I share God's love by telling others that even if they make a mistake, God will always love them no matter what happens.
I share God's love by showing kindness.
I share God's love by telling people what he created.
I share God's love by telling my friends who don't go to church about him.
I share God's love by praying for other people.
I am thankful for God's love because what he gives me. And when he gives me love, when I fall down, I know he loves me, and I like to share God's love with other people.
I share God's love by telling my friends.
I share God's love by helping others and telling them that God is real and he loves you with all his heart.
I share God's love by telling other people about him.
I share God's love by helping people and helping people up and being nice to them. If they fall, I'll help them up and tell them that God loves them always.
From our two-year-olds through our fifth graders, all the words you hear today are words of our children. We are so touched to see their prayer reflect the faith we all live and share.
Let us pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for everything you give us. I am thankful for my mom, dad, sister, brother, grandma, and grandpa, my loving, caring family, who are all amazing. Thank you for friends, baby dolls, fire trucks, orcas, Legos, swing sets, sports, and everything that I have. I am thankful for my life because I get to explore the world. Please lead me to be less selfish and more thankful for what I have. Thank you for the world we live in and our environment. Thank you for the birds in the sky, fish in the sea, water that is pure, nature for the plants and trees. Thank you for rain and sunshine for our gardens. Thank you for sheltering food that we eat that keeps us full. Thank you for Franny's cooking. Please help those who don't have enough food and are hungry. I'm sorry for the misfortune of the poor. I pray for poor kids to get a good job and go to college. Please help those who are in need, the sick in the hospital, those with disabilities, the homeless, the troubled or distraught, and those who are mean. Thank you for medicines and the soldiers and the first responders who risk their lives for us. I pray that all those innocent children stay safe and healthy. Thank you for my school, teacher, and a good education. Help kids in my class that need help. Help us get through the FSA. Please don't let people be bullied or teased. Don't let anyone be humiliated or embarrassed. I know that you love everyone, no matter what they look like, and that all people are created equal. Thank you for our church and the volunteers who spend their time with us. I am grateful to learn about God and Jesus, His only Son, who died on the cross to save us. Help people go to church and learn more about you and praise you. I am sorry for sometimes asking for more than I need, for forgetting to be kind to others, for not being respectful to my parents, and for getting upset with my friends or family. Help me to be a better person and more like you. I am sorry if I sometimes forget how special you are. Thank you for helping us make our dreams real and making us who we are. Thank you for your love, hope, and forgiveness. Give me the courage to face big things and let me handle hard times that I face. I know that you will always forgive us and never stop loving us. I know that you will never leave my side. I am thankful to pray to you every day and night. These things we ask in the name of Jesus, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
That was beautiful. Don't you think that was amazing? Let's give her some applause. It is my pleasure to be with children as a songwriter for children. And it's my pleasure to share this song, which I sang a couple Sundays ago, but I think it's appropriate for today. This is a song from an album called When I Was a Child. This is the title of the album as well. And I hope it brings back memories for many of us. When I was a child, all my days were carefree, laughter full and wild, and the magic of two faces. cemeteries. And sometimes nights were scary. What with monsters on the walls and in my imagination, I imagined them all. And when I was a child, well then, how about I just sing it a cappella? When I was a child, there were endless fields to play on and walnut trees to climb and a box of colored crayons. And Mom would save my drawings. She'd tape them on the freezer door. She still had them decades later, tucked inside a dresser drawer. And when I was a child, it was pancake Sunday morning and hurry up for church, where old gray men sat snoring. And I'd fidget in my seat, try to be as quiet as I could be. And sometimes a Bible verse seemed to be written just for me. And when I was a child, the world was full of wonder. The moon, the stars, the sun, the clap and boom of thunder. Those wonders never cease, and even now, today, when I lay me down to sleep, I'm so thankful for each day when I was a child.
Some people can think back over their life and they can point to the very moment when they made a decision to be a follower of Christ. For some people, it was a radical turn. They took a 180 from the direction they were going in their life toward new life in Christ. And they did that as a teenager or an adult that they knew along the and they know that moment along the way. For me, that was not the case. When I think back over my life, there's not a specific point that I can remember when I turned my life over to Christ. For me, it was something that was almost imperceptible and happened all along the way as I was growing up as a part of this congregation, and influenced by the witness and the faith of so many people. I do remember one night that I was at a coffee house at the 8th Avenue campus, and there was a guest speaker that night, and he invited all of us to turn our hearts over to Christ. And he said, if you've not done so, I want all of you to go outside and walk around and pray and talk to God, and then I want to invite you to make a decision to be a follower of Christ. Well, I thought, I can't remember a time when I've said that and done that specifically. And so I went outside and I wandered around, and I thought, I can't think of that time, but that doesn't mean that that's not what I believe. And that's not what I know in my heart and have known for many years, even though I was only in sixth grade. And so I began to think, when was it that I began to know that Jesus loved me and that I could choose to love back. And I thought about a time when I remembered sitting on a step in a classroom, lined up with other children, and there was a red-headed Sunday school teacher. I remember that very clearly. And she was leading us in singing Jesus Loves Me. And as I sat there on that step with those other children, I remember feeling Jesus loves me. Of course, Jesus loves me. So later, I asked my mother, this was years later, I asked my mother, now, what class was I in? I know where it was. There was one class in the one-story building on 8th Avenue that had a step in it. I said, I know what classroom it was, but how old was I when I was in that classroom? And how old was I when I had that red-headed Sunday school teacher? And who was she? And Mother said, well, that red-headed Sunday school teacher was Miss Helen Lawrence, who has been a part of Trinity for many years and died just a few years ago. And that was your 2-year-old Sunday school class. I didn't know I had any memories from when I was 2. But I remember that. And being a part of that class and all of the other classes along the way with all of the Sunday school teachers that I had and the youth counselors that I had and the people who were a part of Trinity who were witnesses to me and who helped me to grow in faith, all of that has led to who I am today, to my faith, to my commitment to walk as a follower of Jesus Christ. So today is Children's Sunday. We celebrate our ministry with children, and our children have led us in prayers in talking about how they witnessed to God's love in their life. At the 9:40 service, they were leading us in all of the aspects of worship and in music and singing. And as we celebrate Children's Sunday, I invite you to consider being a witness for them. Consider having an impact on their life and faith. Every Sunday, we have about 100 to 150 kids who are in Sunday school or are in K-5 worship, kindergarten through fifth grade worship, which happens at this hour. And we have the privilege of being a part of that and of leading and teaching them. And so I encourage you to prayerfully consider that. In your bulletin, your Connect card that we'll invite you to turn in a minute, at the very bottom of the front of that card, there's a place where you can check, I'd like more information about being a part of the Children's Ministry of Trinity, teaching Sunday school, working with K-5 worship, volunteer and serving on Wednesday afternoons, serving with Vacation Bible School. There are many opportunities from short term to 9 months long. And if you do it once, you don't have to do it for the rest of your life. You know, you can say, hey, this year I'm going to not be a part of my Sunday school class because I want to be able to work with these kids. And I want to be able to impact them in a way that will make a difference their whole life long. I want to help these kids know that Jesus loves them. As they are sitting, I want them to truly feel and know in their hearts, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they loves me. Yeah. offer to God of our time and our talents, of our gifts, of our witness, especially among our children. We also have the opportunity to offer God of our offer back to God our resources. It is through your offerings, your generous offerings, that we are able to make a difference in the lives of children and youth here in Trinity, and we thank you. We thank you for that. And I invite you to pray now with me as we prepare to receive the offering. Gracious and loving God, we are grateful for your presence in our lives. And we are grateful for the ways that you have been calling us and wooing us to you, for the ways that you have been working in our lives, our whole life long. We thank you for the witnesses who have stood before us and shared with us your love. And we thank you for the opportunity now to be a part of supporting that work and that ministry in Trinity and beyond. So receive now these gifts that we offer and bless them. And may they be used to make a difference in the lives of many, and especially in the lives of our children. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
God is our refuge, God is our strength, God is our times already. Today is Children's Sunday, and despite the fact that I am going to preach to you from a stool because I am not 100% physically, I love Sundays like this. I truly do, because I believe it is in moments like this, when our children lead us, when our youth lead us, when we do something totally different in our worship services, that we begin to explore and think about God's kingdom in ways that we might not be prone to or want to otherwise. And as I knew I was going to be preaching this morning, I was drawn to Matthew's gospel, the 18th chapter, the first five verses. So hear now the word of God. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then he called a little child over to sit among the disciples and said, "I assure you that if you don't turn your lives around and become like this little child, you will definitely not enter the kingdom of heaven. Those who humble themselves like this little child will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." The word of God for us, the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on each of us gathered here so that as the scripture has been read and your word is now proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. So I have decided that Matthew is my favorite gospel writer. And that's not just because he was writing his gospel to the Jews of his day. It's because Matthew gets real and gets to the heart at some of those things that are just part of our depravity. And he deals with issues that we might otherwise want to run away from or blind our eyes to. Those things in humanity that are in desperate need of God's transformation. The chapter 18, where our verse comes from, is often referred to as Jesus' discourse on humility. And this discourse was sparked by the disciples who had always thought that the kingdom of heaven would be this coming golden age in which there would be peace and prosperity for Israel. Now, having journeyed with Jesus and heard him proclaim again and again, "The kingdom of heaven has come near," and watching him do miraculous healings and raise people from the dead and perform other signs and wonders. Well, the disciples had come to believe that the kingdom of heaven was literally just on the verge of coming. And they found themselves, having believed this, doing what my kids often do when they're excited about something or have an apprehension about what's coming. Suddenly they begin arguing about where they're going to sit in the car, where they're going to sit at the table, or whatever it is. Well, that's what happened with the disciples. They're excited about the kingdom coming. They believe it's going to be real, but they want to know who's going to have that place of stature or that place of power in this kingdom that's about to unfold. And so Jesus is watching all of this and decides that he's going to put an end to this nonsense once and for all with an object lesson. He calls a child who's nearby over and then places that child right in front of them and begins to unravel everything that they thought they understood about greatness and the value of human beings. Now, it's hard enough for us as mature, modern-day, 21st century adults to kind of wrap our head around what it means to really become childlike in order to enter God's kingdom. But our struggles to understand this passage or embrace it pale in comparison to how the disciples would have experienced Jesus' choice for answering their question. That's because the value and the role of a child during Jesus' time frame within their home and within society starkly different than it is here today in the United States. For starters, a male child was considered the property of his father until he reached the age of maturity, which was generally around age 13. Female children, they were simply viewed as property from the first breath that they took until the last breath that they took. They were their father's property, their spouse's property, their spouse's family's property. Their life was never considered fully their own. But in general, a child, male or female, had no real value or worth until they were able to significantly contribute to the family and or to the community. So that meant if food sources were first, the father would eat first because he was the one who had the greatest capacity of sustaining the family in the future. And then the mother, followed by the contributing age children and down. If there wasn't enough food for everyone, the youngest children, not the parents, the youngest children were the ones who went without. And if times were too difficult to sustain the size of their family, the youngest child or children could be set out at the side of the road to die or to be picked up by another family of slaves. Or if the family was lucky enough, they might be able to sell their child into slavery to help meet the family's needs. What's more, Jewish law, as dictated explicitly in Deuteronomy, provided for the fact that if children disobeyed or were rebellious, parents had the right to stone them. Today, if any parent or any adult in the United States attempted to treat a child like any of these things, in any of these ways, their actions would be considered illegal, abusive, or at minimum, grossly negligent, to the point that they might be incarcerated, or depending on the state that they live in, they might even face death penalty. It's hard for us in today's society to imagine how this seems like appropriate treatment for a child. And yet, believe it or not, the way the Jews treated their children was actually more grace-filled than many of the other cultures around them at that time. Nevertheless, to be a child at the time that Jesus lived among us meant that you were in an extremely vulnerable position of powerlessness. And so by equating true greatness in the kingdom of heaven with those who had no earthly value or worth, Jesus was essentially confronting every assumption the disciples had held about what greatness or human worth was even about. And in doing so, Jesus was also addressing whatever preconceived ideas we might have about what makes someone worthy of God's love or grace, what makes someone worthy of just treatment or our respect, or what makes someone worthy of God's salvation. Whatever our prejudice or biases might have been about who's cool and who's not, about who's welcomed and who's not, none of them have a place in God's kingdom. What's more, Jesus is telling us that if we want to be a part of God's expanding trajectory of grace, in other words, the kingdom of heaven that is among us and moving us towards the fullness of new creation, if we want to be a part of that, we must be willing to truly humble ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to reframe our understanding, not just about the value of the children, about everything. The good news is that clearly we have made at least some strides in this direction since Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, I know we can look at our world and the injustices and the suffering and the neglect, homelessness, abuse that children still suffer from around the world, and we might shake our heads and say, not enough or not much has actually been done. But I would counter that that kind of cynicism isn't very helpful. And it often can cloud our ability to see the good works that God has and is doing right now among us, through us, around us. Our world is still broken. But as I have said before, I truly believe that it is more beautiful than it is broken. And that's because Jesus rose from the dead. And God is with us. And God is good. And God loves us. And God is doing good things to make all things new. But there is still much work to be done. And much work has been done. Our 9:40 worship service that happened just before you walked through these doors, as Catherine had said, it was led by our children's ministry. They did all of it, except for a welcome, a benediction at the end, and our time at the table. And the prayer, the video that was shared earlier about how these kids experience and share God's love, and the words that they were willing to offer to God in prayer should be a model for all of us. These things alone are worth celebrating. And they demonstrate what I'm talking about. God has and is doing great things in and among us. Their leadership declares that the children and our youth are not just the future, but God is using them to be a vital part of our church even here and now. God has gifted our children with dreams and talents and visions all their own that God has placed on their hearts that are intended to be a part of our collective work as a church that helps to guide and inform and inspire us all as we navigate our way towards this future where the kingdom is full. Each and every week, there are great things happening here on our Trinity campus and across town at Faith Mission with our children and with our youth. And if you have ever spent time working and serving in our children's ministries, then you know firsthand, like I do, just how much that experience can transform your own spiritual journey. The raw joy that kids have for life, their curiosity to explore, their willingness to try new things, and their courage to tackle a new adventure with eyes wide, with expectation and wonder. Have you ever met a child who is not genuinely filled with hope that tomorrow is going to be better than today, and the next day is going to be better than that, and the next day is going to be better than that? If for no other reason, they have a birthday coming, and it's going to be even better and even better. Our children are filled with a hope about the future. It is us who teaches them cynicism. It is us who teaches and diminishes that light within them. But when we spend time with them and we allow them to be a vital part of our community, then we can teach them what we do know about Jesus' love, and they can keep helping inspire our hope. And not just our hope, but they can help us remember what real joy and curiosity and wide-eyed wonder and excitement and expectation are all about. And these are all things as adults that we could use more of in our own spiritual journey. To me, all of this is evidence that the spiritual, physical, emotional, mental well-being of the youngest and most vulnerable in our communities is truly being valued and nurtured by loving and caring Christ-minded adults who are honoring Jesus by investing their time with them and serving along with them. What a change from 2,000 years ago. And the work that our children's ministry is doing is making a difference. It's making a difference in the lives of those kids, and it's making a difference here in Gainesville. I hadn't thought about it until Catherine shared and Brian shared earlier. I mean, these are two people who grew up in the church. You are still serving in the church in vital, important ways. Trinity has done a fabulous job of embracing what Jesus said about welcoming the children in their midst. And as we empower them to continue to lead us in worship, they continue to become proof that at least some things in this world have been redeemed and are being renewed in Christ. There is evidence of new life and resurrection power at work right there. And even as I said that, and even though I talked about not being cynical, there is also still a lot of work to be done. We may be doing this right in our church, but within our church and within the church worldwide, there are certainly many other areas of our human short-sightedness and our misunderstanding that the Holy Spirit is still needing to turn us around on, to renew our thinking on. And as I reflected on why this might be the case, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus was here, I've been wondering why and what it means to have childlike faith versus childish faith. As I look at our world around us and our culture, it seems like we're rapidly plumbing into new norms of lows when it comes to childish responses to very difficult and complicated issues that desperately need a greater depth of maturity in order for there to be meaningful conversation and lasting resolution. When we look at the definition of childish, it means to reflect behavior that lacks well-formed maturity. I believe the kind of maturity that's going to be required to bring about the lasting reformation we all long for requires precisely the kind of humility Jesus was speaking about in the passage we read today. And so then as I was searching for connections on maturity and humility, I came across the Center for the Parents' Education definition of maturity. They define it this way. Something children, and I would add adults, acquire over time as they learn new skills and develop the capacity to deal with the complexities of life in ways that extend beyond momentary self-centered gratification to consider the long-term well-being of themselves and others. That, to me, my friend, sounds a whole lot like how we understand sanctification to work in our life. So then if we look at Scripture for answers on maturity, we find that humility plays a significant role in what mature faith looks like in action. For example, Scripture declares that mature followers of Christ increasingly place their hope and trust in Christ, welcome the lost and the outcast into their communities with arms wide open, refuse to judge others because they're too busy focusing on their own shortcomings and needs for forgiveness. Their lives are marked by the fruits of the Spirit: love, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They pray without ceasing. They use their words to build up rather than to tear down. They become a living witness to God's love and grace in the world around them by seeking justice for all, caring for creation. They love God. They love others, and they love themselves well. You know, based on these examples, there are some days when I think, hey, I think I'm finally getting this mature humility, adulting in Christ thing down. I'm making progress. And then as soon as I think that, the other days come, like this week as I've been sick, I feel like I've been very childish. And my response, wanting to throw a tantrum because I don't feel good. And it's obvious to me and those around me on those days that I am still a work in progress. Anyone else here relate to that? That's because our age has absolutely nothing to do with our spiritual maturity. We only really mature in our faith when we are first willing to humble ourselves with childlike faith, I talked about before, which is both radically vulnerable and embodies those inspiring characteristics of awe and wonder, curiosity, hope, joy, when we're willing to adopt this kind of childlike faith and begin to humble ourselves, we create space for Christ to begin turning our thinking around and upside down and right side up again and pointing us in the direction of the work of the kingdom of heaven. The definition of insanity is that we would keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result. I believe the antidote to much of the insanity we see in our world and experience in our own personal lives can be traced back to whether or not we're trying to cling to a childish faith that might be rooted in pride and keeps us bound in chaos, or whether we're willing to cling to a childlike faith that humbly leads us towards spiritual maturity and participation in the expansion of God's kingdom. I think Jesus intentionally started his discourse on humility by placing a child in front of the disciples and challenging and reframing long-held beliefs about who is valued and what greatness is all about. As we celebrate Children's Sunday today, we give thanks for all the ways that God is clearly at work within our children here and elsewhere. And as we celebrate, I believe that Christ is also inviting us to reflect individually and as a community how we might further embrace a posture of humble, childlike faith that will enable the Holy Spirit to continually renew and reframe our thinking so that we don't get stuck where we are, but we keep moving into that expanse of God's kingdom to come. And in that process, I believe that that's how the Holy Spirit creates greater holiness and wholeness in our relationships and in our lives and in the world around us. And so this week, I invite you to join me in really prayerfully considering and going to God and asking where we need to be vulnerable and allow real joy, hope, wonder, curiosity to invade and transform us. I'm absolutely confident that as a church, we will continue to do a fabulous job of doing what Jesus told us to do, welcome the children among us, but not just the children. May we continue to welcome all into our community and continue to see them as equal value, loved by God. Jesus loves me, this I know, and Jesus loves you, this I know. May that be something we continue to do as we also continue to keep a posture of childlike faith that propels us onward in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the children in our lives and the ways that they teach us about what it means to more fully surrender our lives to your will and your ways. Bless all those who are part of our children's ministry. We give you thanks for their servant leadership that is shaping and investing in these young lives that you have entrusted to our care. Help us, Lord. Help us to be humble in ways that enable us to let go of any and all of our preconceived ideas that do not align with your kingdom, and enable us to fully embrace a childlike faith that leads us towards greater spiritual maturity. We can't do it without your help and without your grace. So flood us, Lord, with the grace that is sufficient and greater than our pride. Turn our thinking around and upside down and right side up again so that we can actively participate in all that you are doing to usher in the fullness of the kingdom of heaven, which is now and yet to come. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We come
table where Christ welcomes us and welcomes us all. For here we are reminded of the abundance of God's love for each of us as children of the one who created us and the one who calls us. We remember that love given through the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And we recall how on the night before he died, Jesus took bread and he broke it and he shared it with his disciples. And he said, "Take and eat, all of you. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took a cup and he gave thanks. He shared it with them and said, "Take and drink, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks as we come to this table where you have prepared a place for each of us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup, so that in receiving them we might recognize the presence of Christ here with us, among us, and in the bread and the cup. Bind us together as your church, called to live according to your purposes as children of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving this morning to come forward at this time. In Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table of communion is always open. Every one of us finds a gracious welcome here, so we invite all of you to come. Come to the pair of servers that's in front of your section. You'll come out the left side of your row. Come forward to receive bread, and then take the bread and dip it into the cup. After you've received, you can return by the right side of your section. If you'd like, you're always welcome to come and spend time in prayer here at the front. Everything is ready.
This is my Father's will, and to my listening ear, all nature sings and loudly rings the music of the sea.
place today, I do want to take just a moment to share a couple of prayer concerns that we became aware of just this morning that we would want you to know about. These are concerns of our church community. One is for Priscilla Pridgen, who many of you know. Priscilla took a fall yesterday, after having gone to the youth ranch that you all heard about last week, and seeing that after coming home, apparently she took a fall, and Priscilla has broken her pelvis. And so if you would be in prayer for Priscilla and her family, I know they appreciate that. And then for months and months now, you all have been praying for a little girl by the name of Phoebe Dooley, whose name has been on our screens week after week after week. Phoebe's been battling cancer for a long time, and we got news this morning that her condition had suddenly taken a turn for the worse. And so we encourage you to be in prayer for Phoebe and her family as well. We do have a celebration today that we want to share with you as well. And I'm going to invite Rebecca to come up. And come on up, Alex. It's okay if Elena wants to make her presence known here this morning, too. It's all good. You have also, perhaps, been paying attention to announcements about a new director of youth ministry coming to be with us. And this is her. Rebecca's here today. Rebecca and her husband, Alex, and their little girl, Elena, who I really look forward to getting to know. Elena's 7 months old, and they have just moved into our community. Rebecca's first night with our youth will be tonight. We're encouraging any parents of youth to send their kids. And parents can stick around, too, because for the next 3 weeks, we are offering a special parenting class specifically for parents of adolescents. So if you are one of those or if you know one of those, please come and be a part of that tonight. It'll all start out at the youth building at 5:30. And please take a moment to say hello to Rebecca and Alex and Elena outside as you leave this morning. Good to see you. Would you stand and receive this blessing as we go from this place today? May the love of God, who created us all as God's children, the grace of Jesus Christ, who came to save us, and the strength of the Holy Spirit, who is present with us day after day, be with you all, now and forever.